Good to see all of you here this morning. Whether you realize it or not, every one of you this morning are an answer to prayer. You are an answer to prayer. I'm talking a specific prayer that I prayed just this morning. And your presence here this morning is an answer to that prayer, and I thank God for it. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Such a blessing to have you here with us this morning. Good to see Kevin here not wearing that neck brace. How are we doing there, buddy? We doing all right? Amen. Amen. And Doug has got his hard cast on and getting better and doing better with that leg. Praise the Lord for that, up and around again. The Lord's answering other prayers too, isn't he? Joel and Sally are in town today. Praise the Lord. I tell you, man. Man, somebody lock the door. We're not going to let them leave again, all right? How long has it been? It's been 3 years since you guys left? That is hard to believe, isn't it? It is so good to see you guys again. So good to have you back in town. Sally and Joel will be in Lynchburg for the week. Next Sunday, we hope you come back next Sunday, because they're going to be sharing their ministry with you next Sunday morning. You know, they were a part of our church for several years when they were in town, and after going to Liberty with us until the Lord called them away to Youth with a Mission in Australia, where Joel is from. And they've been working with YWAM for the last several years and traveling different places in Asia and Africa and ministering and things like that. And they're back in town to share, to fellowship with everybody and to share their ministry with us. They'll be doing so next Sunday morning at this time. So we hope you'll come next week and listen to what the Lord's been doing through Sally and Joel and their ministry there. So good to have them back. The Lord has prospered them. They went out with one daughter. They've come back with three. They are prospering in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Did I know that? Another one on the way? Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Jeez. Amen. Lord bless them real good. All right, let's have our Bible study this morning. We're going to pick up our series where we've been talking for the last several weeks. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 11. This is sort of our foundational scripture, our kickoff scripture for our Bible study that we've been doing now for several weeks, talking about healing in the inner man, healing in our heart, healing of wounds and scars and hurts from different issues and life situations and all of these kinds of things. And we're talking about how to make this a reality in our lives as the children and people of God. From Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and as I shared with you from the first time that we did this study, and you know, of course, that ultimately the answer is Jesus. But what we're talking about is the practical application of that answer to our lives in the here and now, so that we experience in a real way, in a real and in a tangible way, the blessing of the Lord and His healing grace in our life in the here and now of living. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is the answer. He tells us that in this verse when He says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is the answer for your hurting heart today. We'll find out how to make personal application of that in just a moment. "Take My yoke upon you," Jesus said, "and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for every person that You brought to our little church today. We ask Your blessing upon them, Father. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, even now as we share Scripture together. Father, feed us the manna of heaven this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to know our Lord Jesus more and more. Help us to understand what it means to come, what it means to cast our burdens upon Him, what it means to take His yoke upon us, to learn of Him. And help us, Father, that we might find healing for our heart and for our soul. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How good is our God? that he desires that for us today. How good is our Lord that he wants us to find healing in our heart and in our soul and find rest and find peace and find the joy of the Lord even in trying circumstances, to be victorious over despair and discouragement and sometimes a sense of worthlessness or a sense of failure or whatever it is the enemy might be bringing against you to drag you down. Whatever it is that causes your heart and your soul to be wounded today. Our God is a healing God. Our God, we found out from the Bible last week, the whole story of the Bible is about God wanting to heal spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way. Full and total restoration for the creation that he made, that he placed here in this world, that fell unfortunately under the temptation of darkness, but now through the Lord Jesus Christ is finding redemption and finding light. There's a verse over in 3 John, the second verse. It says this, "Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And it speaks about the prosperity of the whole man. When we talk about prosperity, we don't talk about money, okay? If God desires to test you with wealth, that's between you and God. But when we talk about the prosperity of God, we talk about the fullness of God's abundant life, of his presence in us that satisfies our soul, that helps us to find peace and joy, overcome anxiety and fear, and to live on a realm higher than this natural world and this natural plane. The Bible says in the prophet Isaiah that we're to mount up with wings as eagles. And when we do, we soar above the real circumstances of this world in this realm. You and I can walk in that place. We can walk in heavenly places with Christ far above all tests and trials and temptations. I'm not saying we're not going to have those things. I'm saying we can walk and live above those things when they happen. I love the picture of Jesus with his disciples in the boat one night when the storm begins to blow, the wind begins to blow, the boat begins to rock, it begins to fill with water, and the disciples are freaking out. And they're running around and they're crying, my Lord, what is going to happen to us? And they find Jesus in the stern of the boat, sound asleep. Sound asleep. And they wake him up. Jesus, don't you care that we're dying? It's not like they had any faith, by the way, that Jesus was going to do anything about it. It's more like, Jesus, we're dying and you're not going to sleep through it. We're going to wake you up and make you walk. But look, there was Jesus. There's the disciples in the storm. They're freaking out. There's Jesus in the storm, asleep in the stern of the boat. If they hadn't woke him up, he'd have missed it completely. How would you like to miss some of life's storms? Well, you can do that if you find your rest in the Lord. Does it mean you don't go through the storms? Doesn't mean the storms don't happen. It just means you just miss them. You just sleep right through them. You just live right through them because of the grace of the Lord. Praise God. And God desires good things for us as his children. God wants to bless us. We talked about God being a good God. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." In our present series, we're talking about how he restores our soul, our inner man. Sometimes the wounds we experience in our inner man are wounds that are self-inflicted. We make bad choices, we make sinful choices, and we wind up hurting ourselves and people that are around us because of the sins that we commit. But the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's forgiveness in the Lord for whatever it is we might have done. And God wants to forgive, and God wants to heal, and God wants to restore. And I just want to challenge you today. Listen, if you're the kind of person, and some of us are, if you're the kind of person, when you make a mistake, when you sin, and by the way, the word sin, it sounds like an awful, terrible word. Sin is an awful thing, but listen. The word sin, literally, it simply means this. To miss the mark. To miss the mark. How many of you know you can miss the mark by 2 or 3 inches, or you can miss the mark by 100 miles. But it's the same thing. You miss the mark. And that's why we say that there's no degrees to sin where God is concerned. You miss the mark. whether it's 2 inches or 100 miles. You miss the mark. And God wants us on target. That's why he gives us his Spirit. And God forgives us. There's forgiveness in the Lord for those things. And I just want to say this again. I shared it with you a couple times before. If you're the kind of person, and some of us are, that when you make a mistake and when you miss the mark and when you see how other people have been hurt by the decisions and choices that you've made, some of us have a tendency to be harder on ourselves than we are even on other people. And we beat ourselves up over our sins and our failures and our mistakes in life. Listen, I want to tell you that God forgives you when you repent of your sin. God wants to cleanse you of that sin. He wants you to restore you to fellowship with him. And he doesn't want you beating yourself up over a sin that the Bible says he doesn't remember anymore. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our sins from us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 17 that God doesn't hold our sins against us. And in Hebrews chapter 8, he tells us that God chooses to never remember our sins anymore. That voice in your head that's always wanting to remind you of your sin, remind you of what a terrible person you've been and the bad things that you've done, that voice in your head, brother and sister, is the voice of the devil. It is the voice of your enemy trying to condemn you and trying to keep you defeated and keep you in despair and keep you depressed. And that is not the voice of God, and that is not the plan of God for your life. God wants to forgive you. He wants you to be released. He wants you to experience victory and come to the place where you receive his cleansing. And in that cleansing, come to a place of peace and joy in your walk and in your journey through life again. And so God wants us to get over those things. Leave the past in the past where it belongs. Quit dragging it along behind you because it's just slowing you down. It's just keeping you from being victorious in the future. If the devil can keep your mind in the past, he can also keep you from being victorious in the future. You have to let the past go. You have to let it go. You have to repent of your sins. You have to release those. We'll talk about this in a moment. You have to release those that have sinned against you, and you have to move on into the future with the Lord. Don't drag anything from the past into your future. Just walk with Jesus into the future and let him bless you every step of the way. Now, sometimes the things that hurt us, that offend us, are things that other people have done to us, some things that others have inflicted upon us. And so we began talking last week about how to deal with those kinds of things, because sometimes we can get offended by what people say to us or say about us or do to us or whatever it might be, and we might carry that offense with a bitter heart, with an angry heart, instead of letting go and forgiving. And what can happen is, when we try to go through life with that spirit of bitterness, that spirit of anger, what happens is our heart can get harder and harder over time, to the place where we become reactive in a lot of different ways to different people in different circumstances. We can become defensive because of the wounds of our heart. Our heart can grow cold. It can grow hard. We can withdraw from people. We can isolate our people. Isolate from people. The problem with that is, brother and sister, we need one another and the love that each of us has from the Lord to grow healthy and strong in the Lord. You can't make it by yourself. Did you know that? A lot of us try. We try to pull away and we try to make it on our own. We try to make it by ourselves. And you can't do it. God has so created the body of Christ that he even tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. See? We need each other. We're all parts of the body of Christ, and we all need each other in the body of Christ to be complete, to be whole, you see. You just can't do very good without one of your limbs, without one of your parts. You need the whole body to function normally, to function wholly, and to be complete. We need each other. I need you. You've blessed me today. You really have. This service is just already, just your presence has been such a blessing to me. And I need you. And I need the love that you have for the Lord and for Becky and I, and for one another. And you need the rest of the body. You need the love that we all have for one another to grow in the things of the Lord. But listen, when we get offended, when we get wounded in our heart, sometimes we can isolate ourselves and we can become lonely. We can become depressed and feel unloved. And sometimes the wounds grow deeper. We can get guarded in our heart. We can become defensive. Sometimes we even become offensive when we have wounds in our heart and in our soul. Here's what happens. Somebody says something to us, somebody does something to us, and we get hurt on the inside. And you know, as human beings, we don't want to be hurt. And we certainly don't want to be hurt again. And so we put up all kinds of barriers to protect ourselves. And one of the things that we often do to keep from getting hurt again is rather than wait for somebody to come along and hurt us, we strike first. And we get offensive. And we become mean-spirited. We become hateful in our bitterness. And we say things to people just to keep from getting hurt ourselves. We say things and we do things. And we hurt other people. This goes on in marriages all the time. This goes on in marriages all the time. One says something to the other one and the other one has to strike back. And then they, you know, it's tit for tat. You got to strike back and the next one, and you always got to raise the stakes. And pretty soon you got a full-fledged war going on between a husband and wife. I love Kevin Lehman as a marriage counselor. It's his field of expertise in counseling and psychology and things like that. And he tells the story of a man and woman came to his office for counseling one day and they were sitting down and they just started in on each other and started, well, he's done this and well, she's done that. And well, it's because he did this. Well, it's because she did that and back and forth. And his response was this. He looked at the couple and he said, who's winning in this marriage? Winning? Church, it's not a competition. Okay? We're not supposed to be trying to outdo the other one, except in love. And they were just trying to outdo each other in meanness. And he said, who's winning in this marriage? A lot of marriages are that way. It's a competition to see who can be the ugliest. Why is it so quiet in here this morning? We can get hard-hearted. We become mean-spirited. We can become offensive and we can strike first to hurt. Another way we respond when we've been hurt on the inside. Some people have been hurt and rejected and they're desperate for the love that we all need. We all need love to be whole emotionally and to be strong. We need it. We need it from one another. And some people who have not had it, maybe they were raised in a home that wasn't very loving, very kind. Maybe their parents told them when they were growing up, you're just not very smart or you're not very capable or you're never going to amount to anything. Some children, unfortunately, are raised in homes like that. And they grow up feeling worthless and hurt. And it's because they've had no love from their parents. And one of the ways that people will respond to that or develop as a result of that is that people will become desperate for love and will go way overboard trying to get you to love them. Become obnoxious, you know, become pests. They just need love. They just want to be loved. They're desperate for love. And so they're reaching out for love. And so we began to talk last week about how to find healing for our inner wounds and the hurts of our heart. And we found out that the answer is still in the area of forgiveness. For just as we receive forgiveness from the Lord when we repent of our sins and we find healing for the self-inflicted wounds, we give the Lord's forgiveness to those that have offended us and we find healing for the wounds that have been caused by other people. It's all about forgiveness, brother and sister. It's about learning as Christians how to walk in love and to always have a spirit of forgiveness towards other people, no matter what it is they've done to us. Look over at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 with me. We read this last week. We're kind of picking up from where we finished off last week and we'll move along. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 26, where the Apostle Paul writes and says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." There is a righteous anger, you know. There is a righteous indignation. It's not an anger toward people. It's an anger toward the devil. It's an anger toward sin itself. But even then he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the day end. Don't be carrying grudges over into the next day. Do not give, because when you do, verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. When you hold on to a grudge of any kind, you're giving Satan an opportunity to harden your heart and to make you bitter and make you resentful. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may be, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we speak negatively, when we speak out of a mean spirit, when we speak in such a way as to hurt other people, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It breaks the heart of God that we would treat other people that way. So he says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. In the same way you've been forgiven by God. And listen, that's totally, that's completely, that's making a choice to never remember again. He says, just as God has forgiven you, so you should forgive one another. Now, I know human nature doesn't want to do that. We're going to talk, well, not next Sunday, but week after next. We're going to talk about how to have a forgiving spirit, how to walk out this forgiveness that God commands us to walk in. And by the way, how many of you have figured out in passages of scripture like this, when God gives us instruction as to how we are to live and what we're to do, hopefully we figured out by now that whenever God gives us instruction, even though it might be something we don't want to hear, even though it might be something we don't want to do, when God gives us instruction to do something, it's always, always for our good. It's always for our good. I was out Friday evening walking out on Enterprise Drive. As most of you know, that's where I get my exercise. It's also my prayer closet. There's about a mile and a half stretch of Enterprise Drive that's my prayer closet from Laxton Road to Dillard Street out there, and that's where I walk and do my praying out there. I was out there Friday, and I turned from Laxton and went on up past the apartments and past the wooded area, and I looked over in the wood there, and there's a little deer standing down on the hillside. He went 30 feet away from me. See deer out there a whole lot. There's a lot of woods over on that side of town, over on Laxton Road. I see a lot of them. Several years ago, I was over there in pretty much that same area, actually. And I saw a little deer over there. There's a Disciples of Christ Church regional office building that sits over there. And as I was walking down toward Laxton Road, I noticed back over in there, there's a deer back over there. You know, I didn't think anything about it. I went down to Laxton Road, and I turned around and came back up. I got about a couple hundred yards away from that building, and I saw that little deer again. And this is 7 o'clock in the morning, and this deer runs out in the road. And you know, that's a heavily traveled road that time in the morning, cars, people going to work and stuff. And this little deer runs out in the road, and as they do, he gets out there and panics. He doesn't know what to do. And he just runs back and forth, and sure enough, somebody hits him and kills him in the middle of Enterprise Drive out there. And so Friday, when I'm walking up and down the road there, I saw that little deer. I thought about that other one that I'd seen get killed out there. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not going to let this little deer run out in the road and get himself hurt. So I went over to the guardrail and I looked down the hillside and like, he's not about 30 feet away. I walked over to the guardrail and I said, go on now, get out of here. Go on, turn around, go on back over in the field, run away. Of course, you know what they do. They just kind of stand and stare at you for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, he just bolts back out across the field, and he goes on out of the way. Now, you know for sure that deer didn't really understand anything I had to say. In fact, he probably thought I was being mean. I was being cruel. I was being hateful. I was running him off. When in reality, I was just trying to save his life. You know, God speaks to us a lot of times and we don't understand what he's saying. We don't hear his voice. We don't recognize his voice. And sometimes when he says things like, forgive that person that just offended you so badly, we think he's being mean. Because we'd really rather get revenge. And what we don't realize is that God's not being mean. He's just trying to save our lives. He's just trying to save our lives. That's why we need to listen to what God tells us to do something. God says, forgive. In the same way that you've been forgiven, forgive everybody. Forgive any offense anybody ever commits against you. Just walk in a spirit of love. Walk in a spirit of forgiveness. God's desire is to do good for us. But how many of you know we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And he comes to tempt, test, and try in order to prevent us from experiencing God's abundant life. And the devil tempts us to gossip, to slander, to speak evil, to be hateful, to be bitter, to be unforgiving, because he knows these things will ultimately consume us from within and leave us in despair and oppression and depression. God tells us to let go of those things for the very same reason. He knows if we don't, those things are going to consume us from within and leave us in despair and in depression. And so he tells us for our good to forgive those who have offended us in any way. We read this verse last week. I just want to read it to you again. It might be a good idea for you to turn to it again from the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter. And verse 17, Solomon tells us in this verse of Scripture, be a good one for you to underline in your Bible, commit to memory. Proverbs 11, verse 17 says, the merciful man, or the man who's willing to forgive, that's what forgiveness is, it's mercy. It's showing the mercy of the Lord. It says, the merciful man does his own soul good. Or does himself good. See, we do ourselves good when we forgive other people for their offenses against us. But the cruel man, the unforgiving man, does himself harm. Let me just share with you just for a minute before we talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about what forgiveness is not. Okay, can we do that for just a moment real quick? Look over, and I want to read real quickly from John chapter 8, very familiar story. It's a story of the forgiveness that the Lord gives to a young woman who's been caught in the very act of adultery. Let's talk first of all about what forgiveness is not. John chapter 8, verse 2, early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, having set her in the center of the court. This is a married woman. And so the sin that she commits, the sexual sin, is called adultery because she's married to someone else. They said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? And they were saying this, testing Jesus, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. When they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who was without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone. Thank you, Lord. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. Hear the word of the Lord, brother and sister. The Pharisees tried to get Jesus to take a public stand on the word of God. They were right in what they said. The law of Moses said such a woman should be stoned. He said, Jesus, where do you stand on the issue? Take a public stand so everybody will know the truth. And did you notice that Jesus refused to do that? Didn't mean he compromised his morals. Didn't mean he compromised the word, because he didn't. Rather, he said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. He didn't stand. He could have stood and said, you know, guys, you're right. The word of God says she must be stoned. Adultery is a sin. She must pay for it. But he didn't do that. You know why? Because if he'd have stood and made a statement like that, which would have been a statement of absolute truth, if he'd have stood and made a statement like that, she probably would have observed him and seen him as just another hating Pharisee who cares nothing for her at all, and he probably would have lost his opportunity to minister to that woman. Instead, Jesus refused to allow the Pharisees to back him into a corner. He refused to be identified and defined by the Pharisees. Do you know the media tries to do that today to Christians all the time? Where do you stand? What do you believe? Take a stand. Forgiveness, brother and sister, is not compromise. Okay? Forgiveness is not compromise. Forgiveness is not justification for sin. Forgiveness doesn't make it okay to sin. Forgiveness is not denial of sin. Forgiveness is not justification for sin. It's not license to sin. Some people say, well, we live by grace, and so it doesn't matter if we sin because grace will cover it. Grace, brother and sister, is not license to sin. It's power over sin. We need to understand that. But what forgiveness is, brother and sister, is making the decision to walk in mercy and not judgment. For mercy triumphs over judgment. Jesus didn't tell this woman she was fine with the way she was living. Jesus didn't tell the Pharisees it's okay that she did what she did. Jesus didn't compromise the moral standard of the Word of God. But neither did Jesus condemn the woman publicly. He dealt with her privately. He did it in love, and he offered to her forgiveness for her sins. Neither do I condemn you. I choose to forgive and show you mercy. That's the way it needs to be for us as children of God. We need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people sin against us, we need to walk in a spirit of forgiveness toward everybody all the time, no matter what it is they've done, no matter how long it is they've been doing to us, no matter how severe it is they've been doing, whatever it is they've been doing. You and I need to walk in a spirit of forgiveness all the time with everybody. Because only when we do that will we find healing for our soul. Only when we do that will we release the offender and find rest for our soul. Watch what happens when we don't forgive. Real quick, one last passage, Matthew chapter 18. Jesus teaches his disciples in Matthew chapter 18 about forgiveness. Jesus said, come to me, learn from me, and you'll find peace and rest for your soul. So we want to learn from the Lord, learn what the Lord has to say about the issue of forgiveness here in Matthew chapter 18. In verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" Now listen to me, Jesus is not speaking in literal terms here when he says that. Jesus is not saying, do the math, 490 times. When the 491st time rolls around, then you don't have to. That's not what he's saying here, okay? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, love does not keep score. So Jesus is not suggesting we just need to have a bigger scorecard. He's speaking in hyperbole. He's speaking in figures of speech, and he's exaggerating the point to make the point. Because the truth of the matter is, you probably couldn't remember 490 times when somebody offends you, okay? And the point is simply this: always be willing to walk in a spirit of forgiveness where people are concerned. Guys, listen, that means whether they ask for it or not. That means whether they repent or not. You should always be ready and willing to forgive when somebody comes to you and says, please forgive me for what I've done. We should always be ready to forgive a person of the offense that they have committed against us. And so Jesus is teaching us here of how to let it go and how to walk in victory over these kinds of things. He goes on to give us more detail in the parable that picks up in the 23rd verse, where he says, and let me just read it quickly for you. It says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents." Now, let me just stop right there, because I don't know what a talent is either. It says in verse 24, 10,000 talents. And my Bible has a little footnote that says this: a talent was worth more than 15 years' wages. Now think about that. 15 years' wages is one talent, and he owes 10,000 talents. He owes, I can't even do the math, 150,000 years' worth of income. How are you going to pay that? Again, the point is hyper. The point is an exaggeration. The point is to say he owes more than he would ever, ever be able to humanly pay. Brother and sister, it's a spiritual picture of you and I and our sins against God. Our sins against God have been so great, we could never, ever, ever pay for our sins where God is concerned. That's the point that he wants to make here. Okay, there's a spiritual lesson that he's teaching here. Let's continue on with a natural story. It says the man owed 15,000 talents in debt. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before the king and said, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." He thought he could cover the debt. It's not going to happen. The king knows it's not going to happen, but look at how the king responds in verse 27. The lord of that slave, the king, felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. It's the story of our forgiveness. A debt that we cannot pay is forgiven us by our king. A debt that we could never, ever cover, we've been released from it by the grace and mercy of the Lord. But now look at verse 28. This man has been forgiven more than you can almost possibly imagine. The mind can't grasp the forgiveness that he's received. But look at how he goes in response to what's happened to him. Verse 28. That slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Denarii is a day's wage. We're looking at about 3 months' wage. He's been forgiven 150,000 years' worth of penalty, and now we find somebody who owes him 3 months' worth of debt. And it says in verse 28, he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. He's not very forgiving, is he? So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling. This man who had been forgiven so much is unwilling to forgive so little. He was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. Verse 31, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved. You know, the Bible says we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. When we don't forgive, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We break his heart. And so it is with these people. The unforgiveness in the first slave breaks the heart of so many people around him when they see the unforgiveness of his own heart after having received forgiveness for so much. Verse 32, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Should you not have forgiven others the same way that I forgave you? It's exactly what Jesus taught us. And please note this. Note in verse 32, this man who has been unforgiving, Jesus says of him in verse 32, you wicked slave. You wicked slave. Brother and sister, in the eyes of God, unforgiveness is wickedness. It's wickedness. It's a sin that you and I need to be forgiven of when we don't forgive others the way we've been forgiven by the Lord. And look what happens to a person who doesn't walk in forgiveness. Verse 34 and 35. The king, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And Jesus sums it up in verse 35 by saying, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now, friends, we're not talking about eternal salvation, but we are talking about blessings from the Lord, and we are talking about fellowship with God, and we're talking about being cut off from that fellowship when we don't walk in forgiveness with one another. Watch this. It says in verse 34, His Lord handed him over to the torturers. To the torturers. What does that mean? How does that play out naturally for you and I? Well, that word torturers is used by Matthew in several different places and in several different ways. It's used in Matthew chapter 4. A form of that word is used to speak about natural physical pain. A form of that word is also used to speak about in Matthew chapter 8 to speak of demonic oppression and depression. Physical pain, demonic oppression. It's also used in Matthew chapter 14 to speak of adverse situations in life. So listen to what Jesus is saying to us when we don't walk in forgiveness. He says when we don't walk in forgiveness, God turns us over to the natural things of this life, to pain, to suffering, to adverse situations, even demonic oppression, if we refuse to walk in a spirit of forgiveness with everybody all the time. Brother and sister, we may have just answered why a lot of our prayers are not being answered. See, maybe this should be the first place we ought to check up when we pray to the Lord for something and it doesn't come to pass. Maybe the first place we ought to look is there bitterness in my heart? Is there unforgiveness in my heart towards someone? Have I not released someone for something they've done to me or said against me? We bind ourselves to the offense and the consequences of it when we refuse to walk in the forgiveness of the Lord. But when we forgive, we release the offenders. We open the door for God's blessing so that God's grace can move into our life. We can find forgiveness. We can find healing. And we can find rest for our souls. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the scriptures that teach us how to live successfully and victoriously in this life. Thank you for the scriptures that teach us how to find rest and peace for our soul. And Father, we pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Lord, that you might help us to walk in such mercy and grace toward other people, just as you've shown mercy and grace to us. Help us, Lord, to forgive, even as we have been forgiven, that we might find peace and rest for our souls. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, as we always do on Sunday mornings, we encourage you as we stay in an attitude of prayer together, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, to take just a moment to consider our own heart, to consider our own way, and to consider the word of the Lord. And maybe God is speaking to us this morning. Maybe God is speaking personally to some of us this morning. And we've not been very kind, and we've not been very forgiving. Maybe we've responded in anger. Or maybe we've even acted first in hatefulness and meanness to protect our heart. Maybe it's even with our own spouse and the people that live under our own roof. God, help us to walk in a spirit of forgiveness with everybody all the time. Help us to release the offenders of our life by forgiving them, no matter what it is they've said, what it is they've done, how severe it is, or how long it's been going on. Help us, Father, to forgive everybody all the time, that we might find peace and rest for our soul. Lord, I ask you to help every person today, myself included, find personal application for this message today. And I pray, Father, as we move forward into the week that's ahead, that when opportunity arises, and it surely will, when people say things, do things that might bring offense, I pray that you would remind us of the word of the Lord that we've heard today, that we might walk in forgiveness with everybody all the time. Thank you, Father. And would you stand together with me and remain in an attitude of prayer for just a moment? We'll be dismissed. Let me just say again today, what a blessing it has been to be with all of you. You've blessed me more than you can possibly imagine just by your presence here this morning. It means so much, and I am very grateful for every one of you being here today. We're grateful for all of our many visitors with us today. Some are old friends, some we've not met yet. We are grateful for every one of you that are here today, old friends and new. We thank you for coming. We hope you'll worship with us again. But let me just share this before you go here today. It's always important that we know that the people that come to this church understand that their eternal destiny hangs in the balance and is dependent upon Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God forbid that anything should ever happen to you today. But if it did, what would happen to your soul and spirit? Where would you go if you were to pass from this life today? The Bible tells us there's only one way to be sure that we'll pass into heaven, and that's by surrendering our lives in faith and in love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him today? Are you trusting Him to save your soul today? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus today? Jesus is the resurrected Son of the living God. He is God who came in the flesh and died to pay the debt for our sins, which are so great we couldn't pay for them. Jesus has paid for them so that we could be forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, never surrendered your life to Him, I encourage you to do it today. Don't let another moment pass by without giving your life to Jesus today. Having done so, let us know the choice that you've made to receive Jesus as your Savior. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody that you let Jesus into your heart, you've given your life to Jesus, and you're a born-again child of God as of today. We will rejoice with you. We'll rejoice with you at the choice that you've made to make Jesus your Lord. Amen and amen. You can let us know on the way out. Also, if you have need of other prayer concerns today and you want to hang around for a moment, let us pray for you personally. We're more than happy to do so. Stay and come to the front of the church and stay and wait. And we'll pray about your personal needs with you today. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.